Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's version of Raising Expectations. And as you know, this show is about the things that we face in life. All of us here are born again, blood-bought believers. We know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know that he died on the cross to pay for our sins, and we know that he's coming again someday. Some may think sooner than we realize. But we also know that coming along with the knowledge of where we're going when we die is the fact that every day Jesus is with us and we can find him only a prayer away, and he's ready to help us in the needs of our lives. And that's why we use the name Raising Expectations, because when you know the Lord and when you're looking for him and you find him, he raises your expectations from the little ordinary things of life to the big things that maybe you're worried about. And he says, don't worry, I took care of your salvation. I can take care of you one step at a time all the way till I come again. So we're thankful that you're with us tonight and you've been in our prayers. For those of you that sent in some requests, been praying for you, and we hope that you're doing much better. We've got a great show tonight, and I know you've already been responding to me this week. We put up the promo information. I know that you're excited to hear from Steve here in a minute. So we're going to begin, as we always do, letting you know who our team is. Out on the West Coast, you know we have Dr. Paul Hall, who is just above Santa Barbara. And Paul's a retired pastor. He's still pastoring. He's a teacher. He's a leader of people. And he does a great job right there in Southern California and everywhere where he deals with people in his life. Paul's been a friend for many years. And a lot of you, I know, have already shared with me how much you love and appreciate Paul. How you doing, Paul?
Good. We're the land of earthquakes now.
All right. Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah. And whenever Mr. Musk sends a rocket up, it goes right over Paul's house. So he keeps us in track with what's happening next. So if we go all the way to the East Coast, which is the south part of the East Coast, and that would be down near Georgia, we find Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer. Now, Steph won't be with us tonight, but Dr. Craig is here, and we like to use his name. Everybody calls him Tank. Tank is a trauma surgeon, and not only that, he helps as a missionary in taking care of people, basically in many places around the world, as he's helped them with medical needs, and he's just a man of God. He follows God's leadership in his life, and he's a special friend to each and every one of us, a brother in Christ. He also is a new author. His first book is called Saved, and Saved you'll find on our website, which what is our website, guys? Let's see. BBSradio.com/raising expectations. So you won't miss it. BBSradio.com/raising expectations. I should have eaten a better lunch, guys. I hope you did, so you'll be right with us. And you'll find this book there, Saved. And again, Saved is a great adventure of one trauma surgeon's true account of the miracles in his life. Saved, finding God in the ordinary, and God works in the ordinary things of life. You'll love reading this book. It'll tell you all about who Tank is, and you'll feel like he's not just a brother in Christ, but somebody you've known all your life when you get to go read his book. You'll find it right there on our website. Also, just above it is my book, and it's called Legitimate Faith, I wrote that under the orders of Zig Ziglar, who was kind of my mentor. It's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 all the way up through about 11 and 12. And it covers the things we're looking at today, things that are unseen, but we know God is working, the things we don't see because of who he is. And it's very clear there. And that kind of faith is legitimate, and that kind of faith produces authentic hope. Hope always means blessed assurance in the New Testament, and that producing right there is raising the expectations in our lives when we trust that God's working in things we don't know or see, but he is there. So you want to get a copy of that too. It's on our website. And if you come back with us now from the great state of Georgia, excuse me, Georgia, I think is how you say it. Did I get that right, Tank? So
Pretty close.
Thanks to Californians, so he may not quite know it yet either. But if we come back from Georgia and make our way to the great state of Texas, there we find one of our favorite pastors in the world, and that's Pastor Ron Greer. And Ron is with Man in the Mirror. You find him there. And he is in McKinney, Texas, near Dallas. And Ron is a pastor. He's done so many things. He's run for Congress. He has done so many things in his life to follow God's leadership. There you can read about him right there on our website. Ron Greer, Mr. Texas right there, but actually you have to read the rest. His Man in the Mirror is based in Florida, I believe, but he does a great ministry there in Texas and back in Milwaukee. We can hear some of that tonight because actually our special guest tonight that is really part of our family now, Ron is the one who shared Steve's name with us and said, "Joe, you guys, you got to get a hold of Steve. This is a really great guy." And so we did. So we're sharing that with him. And then Steve had a lot to say about Ron, which was really exciting, too. We knew some of it. So together, we want to go, all of us now, looking into our friend here, who is Steve. And Steve is actually in Wisconsin, the great state of Wisconsin. And he is, it's kind of neat. You'll see he's a great coach, as you know, what he has done, so many things in ministry. He was an Olympic coach. He was a great cross-country runner. He and his wife there, he's going to share that story with you. There's some of the pictures of him training and working with our athletes. And I wrote some of that up for you so you could have that and know a little bit about him this week. And many of you have shared back to me that you appreciate a man like this giving his life to Christ and serving in this way. He's the president of Four Winds, and he can share some of that, what that means. It's got a great title, and it's got a greater ministry as he's committed his life to Christ. So Steve's coming with us, USA Track and Field. Great title there. How do I become a Christian? This is the call of his life, and he develops young men and women. And he leads them not only to greatness and the things that they can do in track and field, but also he stood up for Title IX. He's addressed Congress. He's spoken about what's happening in the woke and what's going on. I'll let him share that with you. But we just want to welcome you tonight. And I know Ron will be sharing some more with you tonight with us as we share. So we want to give you, and as a Christian, you know what the right hand of fellowship is, but we're going to go around the world and welcome you to our show tonight. We're glad you're with us tonight. Steve, welcome, and tell us a little bit about what you've been up to, and then really what's going on. The first thing that hit you tonight is you shared some things, and then we'll go ahead and have a great evening hearing with you.
Well, I think the first thing is we've had great success in defending Christian athletes. I have my 335th radio interview. Most of them go worldwide. And the last one I dealt with was San Jose State has a player that spikes the ball, a transgender player, 80 miles per hour. So five teams have forfeited games, and this is sending a message to the NCAA. So during the Olympics, we had great outreach. During the Olympic trials, the Olympians went and won 34 medals from track and field for the United States, and they tied the record that's in L.A., during that time, the International Olympic Committee was telling the athletes that they couldn't use the term male, female, or husband and wife to the media. So we stood against that. We were the only ones. We tell the athletes to stand down and let us take control and be able to confront that. We don't, young athletes are too young to take that on, and it'd be a disruption. The media will destroy them if they do such a thing. So we just basically tell them to just, if they're Christians, draw close to God when they win their events or they got an opportunity to tell their life about Christ. So that's what the side thing we do, but also fight the International Olympic Committee. In 2003, the only one fighting against, publicly against the transgender movement in the Olympics. Hmm. And we've seen 10 sports stop transgender athletes, and we've seen 26 states reverse their policies. So that's kind of a nutshell what's going on.
Hmm. Anybody have a question on that? That's some kind of news, isn't it?
I think there was this politician in Alaska that just reversed her direction. I forget her name, but initially was pro them competing and then changed it when her policies weren't being successful for her election. So, yeah, it's interesting that they had, because I mean, medically, you know, the questioner says, what sex are you? So that's male, female. It's a medical term. It's what are you biologically, right? So, and then gender, I think, has morphed its definition to no longer correlate with that. It's now what I feel.
So. Well, you know, all those years of medicine has blinded you, doc. So, you know, you're kind of biased, so you don't really understand. Gender is a real part of that, you know.
Believe me, I've been told that. And I should keep my mouth closed because in California when I was there, they were taking my license away. Gavin Newsom passed a law that if I would have spoken out with the data I see for COVID, we didn't vaccinate our boys because we knew it wasn't, I mean, it didn't do any good. They would do fine. And in that age group, they would have heart and other problems. So, and actually higher death rate with the vaccine. So it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. But if I would have said all those things, and I did say a lot of things, I went on and I've gotten on more recently about Ozempic and the weight loss fad with that drug. They've got like 10,000 lawsuits against them now. But I think it's some company in Norway. But yeah, I mean, you have to tell the truth. You have to not. I mean, the facts help. The truth is the truth, and you know, you try and not be biased. So it's key. And the other thing that was really taken away in all this, I mean, with this kind of woke people about our gender, you say anything and you're sexist or racist or whatever. I mean, they just jump, they call your name right away. Mm-hmm. So you
can back up.
That's Steve, still I'm sorry. On arguing.
Yeah. What was that?
Say it one time.
So, yeah, what did Tank say? What was the end of that?
Oh, I said medicine's built on arguing. When I was heavily CrossFitting, they started a physician's website, and I started to speak out about something on there, and it's only supposed to be physicians except for the one person that is running the site, and she got all over my case. You can't, I'm like, you don't seem to understand physicians. We're supposed to debate and argue. And that's called being scholarly, the ultimate... Scholar is the ultimate skeptic. And that's how we come to conclusions. If you don't question something, you won't get answers.
Right, right. So, Steve, I want to go back to one of the things you mentioned, the San Jose State volleyball, I won't call it a fiasco, but the controversy. Can you explain to people what the controversy is? What's happening at San Jose State and why the other teams are doing what they're doing? First of all, what they're doing and then why?
Yes, San Jose State University has a transgender volleyball player, obviously a man, who can spike the ball at 80 miles per hour and actually injure women. And so other teams say they don't want to play against that team for fear of getting hurt and just the whole idea of what's going on. So you've had five NCAA teams that have forfeited games against San Jose State. But another thing that's really important, like the doctor was saying, so they did a study with 11-year-olds giving them blockers this week. And if you read about it, so they spent $10 million on this study, the government did. So the doctor did the study going through the life of 95 transgender people at 11 and seeing the drugs that they were giving, if they would make them happy. So what they found out at the end of the study, that they did have no benefit mentally. So in other words, they didn't improve. But here's the catch. The doctor that did the study hid the facts and wouldn't report them. And then finally, there was a whistleblower, so she had to report them. And so the key is, she said the reason she didn't want to report it because she didn't want to stand in the way of giving puberty blockers and killing these kids at 11 years old, you know, eventually destroying them.
So even though the doctor, by the way, she's a research scientist, got government taxpayer money to do the study, she gets to the end and she hides or refuses to release the study. Which goes back to Tank's point he was making before. One of the most unethical things anybody in research can do is do research and then not release the results of the research. And so what you have in that, we have in this case with Dr. Kennedy, is that you've compromised your integrity as a researcher, because you refuse to allow the results to speak for themselves. In other words, you took a position as opposed to being a scientist. And scientists, you do the research, you look at the numbers and the data and say, okay, this is what I have, and let people make a decision about that. Mm-hmm. So that and I don't think people realize just how bizarre and how far outside of the scientific community and practice that is. It's mind-boggling.
And I'm to the point where I honestly believe, and I know this is controversial, but they've had 5,700 kids that from 2019 to 23 that have been mutilated, young people, by surgeries and harmful hormones to a cost of $120 million. I'm to the point now, if I believe if a teacher, a doctor, or whoever, a parent, tells these kids that they should do this stuff to harm themselves, I actually believe that's child abuse. Yes. And I actually believe that they should be sitting in jail. And some people say, well, that's too extreme. But just think about, it's a Hitler experiment. You know, we always hear the left talk about Trump, Hitler. But, you know, when you really think about it, and you look at the stuff that Hitler did in some medical research, is cutting body parts off and weird stuff. This is about as weird as a thing and demonic as you can ever find in the history of the United States. You might go back to when Herod killed the young kids and various things like that. Abortion, obviously, is a great evil. But I'm telling you, for an open our society to promote something and let something like this exist, I had 25 organizations in Madison against me. Only two were for me. The doctors, the head of the Wisconsin Medical Association, a lot of the hospitals in Wisconsin could not even identify what a woman was.
Well, until the presidential election this year, they quickly discovered the first woman. Stop. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, did you guys hear Trump's, you know, the Al Smith fundraiser? You know, they tease each other, and Schumer's sitting right to his left-hand side, and he's saying, well, you know, this is the first time I think Mr. Schumer can potentially run for president and be the first woman president.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, the whole thing is you know, there are times you read and you study of this thing of satanic delusion, you know, both in individual delusions, and then you have examples throughout biblical history of how Satan sort of deludes groups of people, and you can't wrap your brain around it until now. It's like, you know, you have these thoughts what it may look like, but now you have a situation where so normally very educated, very intelligent, respectable, you know, professionals in all areas, who are now saying stuff that is completely and totally just loony. I mean, a six-year-old can look at reality and say, okay, here's some things that are real and here's things that aren't. And it's like you have all these trained and professional and intelligent folks saying, no, that's not. It's not that. It's not that. And you go, no, it is that. And they go, no. And, you know, trust us. I mean, it's that bizarre. We've gotten to that point. And another one, I don't know if you may have seen, what is the UFCF, what do you call it? The fighting. What's it called?
Yeah,
UFC. What is
UFC.
it?
I think it's UFC.
UFC, UFC.
Yeah, an MMA
So,
one, and then there's UFC.
yes.
Yeah.
So they're doing this, having different fighters do a hand strength test on a meter, and the guys on there score anywhere from 110 up to 166 pounds of force in their strength, hand of strength. All the women they did on there, not one got over 100 pounds of pressure, right? And yet, you have people advocating for those men with that kind of strength to actually participate with women. And people are still want to tell you that there's no difference, that it's really in your head or something. And I'll go back to San Jose State. That if you ever haven't seen that, find that video of him spiking the ball and slamming that young lady in the face. I mean, if it doesn't cause you to shiver, nothing will. So anyway, I just never could imagine us getting to this point, even in my imagination. Well, take that back. I couldn't have imagined it getting in my lifetime. I'll put it that way. Yeah.
Well,
Sorry about that. I don't want to dominate.
no, but I mean, we grew up in a period of, feminist rights, right? The whole feminist movement. And so one of my biggest surprises is, I mean, Cosmo and these women's journals have like given their Woman of the Year award to guys. Like, where are those feminists that were, burn my bra, let's stand up for our rights? And I mean, aren't they just scratching their head going, isn't this stupid? Well, I don't understand it. Yeah, this doesn't make sense.
That'll be another show, another conversation. You should
Oh.
ask yourself, then what was the focus of the women's feminist movement? What was the purpose?
Right, to get them out
It
of the house to work,
wasn't about
no
women.
longer be moms. Yeah.
No, it wasn't about women at all. They
Yeah.
were just the patsies being used.
Yeah.
But that's another discussion. Because if you think about what you just said, right? The question you asked, if feminism was about women and about women empowerment and women and freeing women, they'd be screaming from the rooftops.
Yeah.
Right? Remember back in the beginning of Title IX, Title
Yeah.
X, they were blah blah blah, it's about the girls.
Yeah.
And you go,
I mean, nothing.
wouldn't they be the people who are most opposed to this transgenderism? And then
Yeah.
until you look at the history of the women's movement and you realize it has nothing to do with empowering women at all. They were the patsy, the tool to do something else. But anyway, I'll leave it at that. What do you think, Steve?
Well, I think what crosses my mind is a couple things. I think of the Book of Romans, and one day I was running and I just got to thinking, is homosexuality the last stage of society? And I know Ron has done great work in Madison, Wisconsin, and he relocated to Texas. Probably a good thing. They drove me out of Madison, but my office is still there. But we still do a lot of work, and we have our mailing address in Madison. We don't want to remove that. But what I'm thinking when I was running one day in Madison, I got to thinking, is homosexuality the last stage of society, and why? And I know there's other sins, and I'm not saying that they're not as important or anything like that, because even in Romans 1, it talks about the other sins. And so we know that there's natural, God reveals himself naturally. You can see a mountain, even though if you look at Mount St. Helens, eventually it's going to blow up, it did, but it's still beautiful. We can see God. We can see God in a beautiful river like up here in Wisconsin, the St. Croix River. You can go down in the Gulf of Mexico and see the ocean. In the morning, very beautiful. You can see parts, God, you can see it. That don't mean you're going to come to God without a special knowledge. So when you get up in the morning, or when you get out of the shower, you see who you are and how God made you. And that is the image of God, or he's created you, and that's a great creation that he created you. So when you look in the mirror and you know how God created you, and you defile that, that's almost like a last stage. And so I'm trying to be careful in saying that it's the last stage, but obviously people can repent and come to Christ. So it's not like the final, you know, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to. God's grace is sufficient for sinners. But I'm just saying in our society, when you approve it so greatly, we have 25% of kids coming out of high school now saying they're LGBTQ. Yeah. We have 2.2% of people saying they're transgender. We have another 3.3% saying that they are questioning who they are. So we're indoctrinating kids. And this is what I think we're heading to something. I think abortion is probably the number one thing that will bring judgment on the United States. The key is, can we have revival? There's been three, first, second, one in 1859. Can we have a revival? And that's a question, you know, we see the election coming up, free speech. There's a lot of things that we're heading toward if America does not repent. And I'm no better than anybody other than I just feel that we're heading to something. And I don't want to, it's pretty vague, but I can just sense that in our society that you know, I don't speak for God. I'm not a prophet, but I think the Lord's judgment is coming. And I'm trying to be careful here, but we also know that there could be pockets of revival. And some people say, well, can we have a revival? It would be like if we had a revival now. It'd be like on Monday morning after the revival, 70% to 80% would go in the Senate and reverse all the laws for abortion. Mm. That was a direct effect of the first, second, and 1859 revivals.
Right. Right.
Can we have another one? I'm not God. I don't know. Or are we going to be like Jeremiah and Isaiah and just preach the gospel and maybe be the minority and persecuted? These are heavy topics.
Mm.
And I don't know 100%, but I think that we're heading to something.
Ah.
You know, Ron said something really close to that. Ron, when you shared a minute ago, which in line with what you're saying, I think about this. I can't believe something. I would have never thought I could have got to this. And now that I got here, Ron says it's there. It's so real. We never believed that could have happened. And then something came up interesting to me today. And I think it boils down directly to what you're saying as I hear your heart, Steve. You know, Jimmy Carter was quoted recently, and it was printed up everywhere saying, you know, homosexuality is not really wrong in the Bible. And, you know, I respect him for so many things. And he said very clearly, he goes that homosexuality, Jesus never said anything about homosexuality. It was actually the Apostle Paul. Okay, that boils down to one thing. If we want to nitpick all these things in Scripture, it boils down to one thing. Is there any such thing as absolute truth anymore? There's only one thing I know, and that's the Word of God. The Bible is absolutely true. It was clear all the way since the Council of Nicaea. God said it all the way through, add to or detract from, and you're in big trouble. But if the Bible is the Word of God, then instead of nitpicking things and saying, well, this is all right and that isn't, either we accept it as the whole Word of God or we don't. And if we do, what you were just saying, Steve, is just spot on. And that's what's in the world. And everybody's so afraid. And preachers, as Ron so often says, aren't preaching what the Word of God says. And then what you said also a minute ago, Steve, there's nothing in anyone's life that's too big for God to take care of.
Yeah.
So it God's grace is sufficient and His Word is true. And, you know, if I'm going to be one of these that goes around saying, well, maybe it's not, because if that wasn't said there and that was said there and that isn't said there, then you better start worrying. Maybe His grace isn't sufficient because maybe that's not covered all the way through. It's just shown. So I really agree with what you say. There are absolutes, and we need to stand up for what those absolutes are. We need to do it in the way, like you said, see what we do. And that's something we're afraid to do. I think woke has turned off all the light switches on that. It's really bad.
You know, I'm sorry. Paul, you had something there? Sorry. Paul?
Nope. Go, Ron. I'm just thinking.
Taking notes.
Yeah, I go back to the, two passages, right? You know, the Jeremiah, you brought up Jeremiah, that's one. The other one is that people love to quote, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. I'll forgive their sin and heal their land, right? And then in Jeremiah 11, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper on and on, right? Well, I got to go back and read it, but I remember specifically in Jeremiah passage, if not the Chronicles also, the thing that stood out when you finally studied the passage is that God gives them this great promise right in the midst of a horrible captivity, horrible people around them, right?
Not good.
It got even harder when he says, well, so basically, I mean, in my mind, it says, if my people who are called by my name would turn from their sin, right, and their wicked ways. So in other words, your situation, your condition is somehow predicated upon your sinful behavior over a period of time. Now, if you turn, then I'll hear your prayers and I'll heal your land. But then I ask the question, but they're not in their land. And then he goes on to say, while you're there, right, you've been oppressed, you're being brutalized, you'd be faithful to the Lord. And he says, you pray for the land you're in, the people ruling the land. So in other words, you pray for your enemies. You work hard to make the situation best in your situation you're in, even though my enemy is benefiting from that. And in my brain, when I first started going through that, it made no sense. It forced me to go back and kind of dig deeper in it, right? So and you go though back to years ago and you go, well, I hope we're never at that point. Because I have a hard time seeing myself actually praying for and working toward the betterment of a corrupt, horrible place I live in. And yet
I
here we
think,
are.
don't you
And yet
think
here
when he
we are.
was, yeah. Yeah, I think when he was saying that and heal your land, I think part of that, I could find things on it, but I think the Holy Spirit just said to me that in studying that years back, he's reminding them in their mind of what he had for them. Who's it that you're my people? I love you. You remember back when it was good until you did the thing that we always end up doing, messing something up. And if remember that. And I will empower you, like you're saying, well, I will use you to heal the land you're in and even bless that. But I'm with you, Ron. I don't want to be in that.
Well,
And
again,
what's
and I
that
think
today?
that's where,
America. What is America? I think people keep saying, I love America. I love America. And remember the good things and how many men died for it and such.
Oh,
And what
absolutely.
Christ stood for Revelation. Was it always perfect? No, it wasn't. It's made up of people like us. But when I remember that, I don't want to. Personally, I don't want to end up in a woke world where I have to deal and love like God's called us to do. That's hard. I hear what you're saying there, Ron. I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead, because you deal with guys like this all the time.
Well, I remember in the 1990s, I was reading a book, and I can't remember what it was on the homosexual agenda. And back then, I had no clue. And I was reading this stuff, and they said what was going to happen. And I thought, oh, man, I'm not sure about this, but here we are. And during that time, I was getting the paper and seeing Ron's name all over the place. You know what I mean? And I was looking at that, and who little knew, no, at the time I had no idea that I would probably be kind of like a Ron Greer. You know what I mean? So taking on the Olympic movement.
Oh,
I mean,
sorry.
it's kind of odd that I was looking at him taking on the department there and the woke agenda, and then all of a sudden I'm reading this book and wondering, okay, here's another story. And I was reading this stuff, and then God used all of it, to prepare me. So it's always good, you don't think you're leading by example, and you're in the middle of a battle, and that's what we got to remember, because you're targeted, and people say you're unloving, you're hateful, and I local school here, we reversed the transgender policy last week. A year before that, they had 11 speakers against me, two were for us. And I got condemned. They 42 teachers signed a letter and said, we don't like what he's doing. I probably could have sued him. I had no money. And then they were all against me, screaming at me at a board meeting. But I hung with it over a year, and now we reversed the policy. And now all the Christians and the patriots are showing up, and they reversed it. So we're in a real battle.
Well, I would say the book you read, I may be guessing, but one, there was a guy by the name of Marshall Kirk, and Matson, Marshall Kirk and something Matson.
It
And the
has
book
something
was,
about agenda.
yeah, it was after the ball, how America will overcome, how America conquers fear of the homosexual, something like that. They changed it. That was the final name. But yeah, that book gives an entire agenda, how, what they're going to do, how they're going to go to accomplish it, and what steps they're going to take to get there. And they walk you through, they're getting their allies in the media first, entertainment first, and then in the media, and then in the courts, and then in the legislatures, and then on and on. And the church, I'll tell people, the church was the last thing on their agenda. After they get you all surrounded, then they would take over and kind of infiltrate the churches. But yeah, it was a wickedly brilliant strategy that has played out well. The problem has been the church not understanding the agenda, not understanding both what their agenda is, and not carrying out and understanding God's agenda. And that's part of my sort of focus and point now to people is, listen, God has allowed this situation to develop, our culture to develop where it has, because America is unusual in human history. So that's it, you cannot miss the fact that God miraculously raised up a nation like anywhere else. So if he raised it up and sort of created this thing, he on the backs of and on the, and at, and with using his people, then it's still up to his people to maintain it. So when it starts deteriorating and becoming this place of fantasy and horrible wicked deception, it's because his people have stopped being his people. And I think that passage in Second Chronicles and Jeremiah is kind of instructions to his people then. All right, so once it's fallen apart now, I need you engage. Remember who you are. Remember what I called you to. And then start living it out, even in the midst of this delusion and deception and this wickedness, no matter how crazy it gets. Because the purpose and the point of the entire devolution of the culture is led by Satan to defy and to corrupt anything of God at all. Transgenderism is a spit in God's face saying, no, you don't determine our sexual gender. You're not the creative force here. It's Satan's. All those things are connected to Satan's attempt to corrupt anything that God does. And I'll go back to that thing I mentioned, the feminist movement. The feminist movement was designed as the same thing. It was designed to corrupt or to defy God's created order. It hasn't changed. Our job constantly is to keep fighting to restore God's creative order, to establish his kingdom principles, because when the righteous are in authority, people rejoice.
Right.
When the righteous withdraw themselves, people moan and they groan and their lives are terrible. And for us, it's terrible, but we're going to be with the Lord forever.
Exactly.
So this is only temporary for us.
Yeah.
Those who we leave behind by being withdrawing, being silent, they will be lost and suffer for eternity. So those two things should be a constant thing in our mind. Who's going to be lost in eternity and Satan's going to drag with him? And then what has God called us to, and how many folk are we going to be used to share the gospel with them? They might live in heaven with us also. I'm sorry, I got off on a sermon. Sorry about that.
No, yep. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. That's right. God does have a purpose. And I think the American dream was mixed into God's purposes too. I think young men and women, they were Christians. They need to have a drive to take care of things as they know and do all of it under the call of Christ, what it is. God's got one plan for a life and they need to follow. Yep. But that's where the joy comes, Mark. Yeah. And I always wonder, I was thinking about this today, Steve. There's been so many times with kids and grandkids, and also as a pastor, when I would stop in youth pastor days, y'all remember that. And you look into the face of those young people. And once you get past all the little walls, they throw up in the laughter and everything. Yeah. They do all those things, and and they trust you. That's why they laugh. Yeah. But once you look inside their faces, Steve, as you work with these athletes and you want them to come to Christ, can you share a little bit about what you see? I think God gives us sight looking inside of people sometimes when we hear things. What do you see?
It's crossed my mind. This was our 11th Olympic cycle. We started in 1984. We had 34 medals in the United States. So this Olympics was my 11th Olympic cycle in Paris. We had 34 medals tying. The next Olympics would be 2028 in Los Angeles, where I started, and Lord willing, we'll make it there, you know. So what's been on my mind lately is, no matter what success you have in life, doesn't mean that you're going to be happy. And I use this illustration. It's really been hitting me lately. I've worked with athletes that have had gold medals. I've worked with athletes that have had medals, and that they've actually, when they ended their career, they got DUIs. They got trouble mentally. Some of them got in crime. Not all. Most of them turn out really good. But I'm just saying, we can't put our trust in those things. And I look at that and I think, now I've been equating this to the LGBTQ movement. And people say, well, if we pursue things in the wrong way, in other words, it's okay to have normal sexual relations. But what we're doing inside the mind of a person, Romans, the book of Romans, we know when we're doing right and wrong. Before I was a Christian, when I was in drugs and alcohol, I knew I was doing wrong. God told me I was doing wrong. He even warned me, if I keep this stuff up and I wasn't even a Christian, we're going to be dead. And, you know, God used that. And so what I'm saying is, it's okay to be successful, win money, win medals, and do all that stuff. But if God's not number one, it's futile. So what we're telling these LGBTQ kids, they know they're not right, no matter what it is. They know inside, they just know it. But we're saying, okay, we're going to have 30 days of pride. You do the transgender stuff, you do this, and you're going to be happy. And that's why the suicide rates are skyrocketing in these communities. And people say, well, it's bullying. I think there's some of that, but I think most of it is people are looking for purpose. Even the gold medalists, and some of them that I've worked with, that got the end of their careers and they are not happy because they didn't pursue it. I have a son that's among the top gun dealers in the United States. He's a multi-millionaire. He left our house with a junky car. And one thing I told him when he's going into business, I said, John, if you lose everything that you're going to have, what are you going to do? He said, Dad, I don't care. In other words, he didn't put his trust in money. I said, John, you don't have a friend in business. And he said, Dad, I got a lot of friends. I said, don't do anything dishonest. You're always going to be found out. And so he's run his business. And I brag about that. He had nothing. He became a strong Christian. But see, the purpose isn't just, I'm going to run my business and become a multimillionaire. He kind of fell into it. But his purpose is to be happy. His purpose is to give to people and things like that. And so, as a dad, I'm really, you know, you shouldn't be proud of your kid, but I am. But, you know, everybody's got battles and problems. So people say people with money and gold medals, they're just faultless. And that's why we got to make sure, when we're pursuing dreams, even in pastoral or sharing the gospel. And, you know, I struggle every day with doubts, persecution. You know, just worry. I'm a constant worry wart. I can get on the radio and talk forever. I love it. You get me off the radio and I'm worrying, you know, and stuff, and I constant battle. I got to trust God. So, you know, I'm just saying, success doesn't always, we got to know what the battle is. I hope that makes sense.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Peace that passes understanding. It's an inside job, and everything else is gravy. But and you look in the faces of those guys, and you see the heart. I think God allows us at times to see the heart inside, and that's when your heart goes out,
Yes.
really reaches out
Amen.
to him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. You know
Paul,
that?
a thought you want to share on just.
Yeah, I saw this great meme about a year ago. It said, I don't quite understand your kind of stupidity, but I do admire your commitment to it. You know, and you know, it's really, when I think about, do you remember in the scripture it talked about the children of Israel asked a question? They said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And they hung their harps on the tree, and their hearts were broken, and it's never going to get any better. I do believe that God is always working, and most of the time it's upstream. We can't see it.
That's
We
right.
just got to walk in faith and believe that He knows what He's doing. I don't think any of this caught God by surprise. Amen. You know, and I do believe that he raises up people at specific times for specific reasons, and he's a God that can accomplish anything, and I think our faith needs to remain strong. I personally feel, you know, living in California, talk about living in a foreign land and hanging your harp on a tree. I mean, my goodness, every time we turn around, another level of commitment to stupidity seems to rise to the surface, and you think, how can anybody think that way? One of our political candidates, interestingly enough, made a statement either yesterday or the day before, or maybe it doesn't matter when they made it. They were in a church, and they said that voting is a sacred duty, and if you vote for me, I'm aligned. You're aligning yourself with God's will. And I think that's a dangerous statement to make. But how many people will fall in line with that because their eyes are blinded and their hearts are cold and et cetera? I think our culture has done an excellent job of indoctrinating. I mean, my goodness, that Ron, I agree with you. There was a plan, you know, it's like you know, it's just amazing that, you know, it's a stupid person when they go to war that they don't kind of take a look at what they're up against. You know, I mean, the scripture says that be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And I think we're up against a formidable foe. He's ancient. He knows what he's doing. He has an agenda. He's going to stay with that agenda. Yes. And if he can trip humans up mm-hmm. and continue to give humans the opportunity to demand of God what they think is fair, it's a mess. And, it get more complicated. I mean, that's what I run into when I talk to people. Well, that's not fair. Well, by whose standard? Right. You know, and hooray for Pitu or Joe, you know, a while ago. Is there when we were in college before the turn of the century, you could go into a church and say there is absolute truth. It's the Bible. You got no argument with that. Right. You know, mental assent, that's ideal. But practical living and the Bible being absolute truth, different matter. And those are choices. And I really agree with what Steve was saying, you know, that you need to get your head straight, you know. And it's just so confusing, you know. But here's the deal. We can't afford to withdraw from the fight. We can't.
Amen.
You know, we've got to stay engaged. And whatever level that happens, you know, we've got to stay engaged. Now, we'll get to the point, I think, where we're worn out and we're tired and we'll say somebody else needs to do this for a while. But I just don't see that as the truth of the scripture. You know, it doesn't. Yeah. Perseverance doesn't mean lay your sword down and take a nap under the apple tree. You know, perseverance says you got your sword in one hand and you've got your tool in the other and you get busy. So those are some of the thoughts I had.
When we were in college, Paul coined the great phrase that fits what you just said. Your great phrase at the end we use so often was, "Send me in, coach, send me in," right? Sometimes you say, "Send me in, coach, this was the sign. Send me in."
Beat up and busted, sometimes, send me in.
No matter how tired you are, you know, sometimes God says, sit on the bench a minute, sit down for a minute. And I'm sure great coaches have always done that. We need to take just a minute here, Steve. We're going to bring it back to you and let you wind up for us for 2 minutes in just a second. But Stephanie is not with us right now, unless she can signal down from the plane. But did she put you into training this week to do our spot?
She did not.
She did not.
Okay. Oh, Lord. I could help these days.
I have a voice, so I would be all
right. Yeah. Well, we just take a minute, ladies and gentlemen. We just want to jump in. Stephanie, you know, always covers one word we try to share with you. Raising Expectations, as you know, is a program now that basically goes everywhere. It's just amazing what God's been doing. But I don't know what he does, but he just does it. And we get notes and cards from you. It's amazing. But it does, we do look forward to you being with us each week. It's great to be together, and we think of you during the week and request. But it does take money to keep this going, and because you're looking at, two preachers, the two old preachers on the top. I tell you right now, there's not much there, but what this comes down to. Any donations, if you look at our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations, you'll find a Venmo number there. And that thing is called a, what was that word again, folks? A donation, a scan. It's got a word, but
it's a QR code. Scan the
thank
QR
you.
Code.
QR code. Yes, just a QR code. There's a QR code there. If you take a picture of that, I guarantee the little one in the middle won't break your camera. It was threatening to, but it won't break it. But when you bring that up on your phone, you'll be able to, if God leads you to, anything you could make a gift to the program. It'll help us a lot as we continue to expand and do things that we're looking forward to in 2025. So we would thank you very much for that and put it into use. And on the website, make sure you find out there's things that tell you how that happens. Most of all, use the Venmo code or what's written there. All of you'll find on the site all the programs going back. They go back 4.5 years or so, I believe. And you'll see the different programs that are there. Find out a little bit about us. Well, the way Steph says it better than me, you'll find out about us, not everything, but no, you find out it's written there. Steph does this really well. So and so you'll be able to find out on the program there what is going on. And so we'll go from there. But also our books are there, Legitimate Faith, and of course, Saved, Finding God at Work in the Ordinary. So we'll hope that'll be a blessing to you. Thanks for letting us share that with you tonight. You also find a backup. The story will be written up. Our engineer, TJ Newsom, is incredible. And he writes these things up, puts them out, and we can send them out to you, and you can share them with your friends. You can read about what's on the show. And there's a lot of things you can share with friends this way. Steve, I want to kick it over to you, brother. If you could take like 90 seconds we got here and just share how we could pray for you in the coming months and how can we lift you up as you lift people up all the time?
Yes. So I got some scheduled trips probably to Washington, D.C. I got Western Kentucky University made me alumnus of the week. So I'm going to go down to the homecoming, which is kind of a school of 17,000 for a secular university to do that. But 85% there vote conservative. And right. Just keep praying. You know, we trust the Lord day by day. You know, we're praying for another car. So I'd like to travel by car and get to many places. But we're doing good. What I'd like to do is tell people to get out and vote on Tuesday. It's very important. You may not agree with everything a candidate does, but I'll say one thing about Trump. Is he had it all reversed, all this transgender stuff before he left office. Biden got in office within 1 hour, switched everything over. So it's very important. He's an imperfect man, but he does stand up for Christians' free speech. And that's one thing I'm telling you, get out and vote. We're living in a very precarious time. Mm-hmm. Trump's not going to save the world, but I'll tell you one thing. If we can't have free speech, we're not going to save the world either.
Amen.
So
amen.
Get out and vote on Tuesday.
Amen. Amen.
Very, very important. Very important.
If you don't believe it, ask your friends in Venezuela what happened.
Yeah, exactly, Mark. Exactly. Or Brazil. They're taking a shot there, too. We had from a guest speaker to me directly. I guess a message came up, TJ. I didn't see that. I'm sorry. I guess I missed that. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us tonight. God bless you. Remember to vote. It's so important. And remember, thanks. Ron, it's so good to see you. Glad you're here, brother. Right on. It's great to see you. Tank, it's great to see you. Give Steph a hug. We miss her tonight. Thanks for sharing with us. And Paul, love you, P2. And really appreciate your life and your ministry, too. And Steve, we'll be praying for you, and we'll be getting back to you. We want to hear about what happens. We love to know what God does in answer to prayers for you. So on that note, we'll sign off tonight. So down in Houston, Texas, they can take care of what's happening with the program tonight and continue to send that out. God bless you. God keep you. And remember,
thank you.
It's not about who you are as much as it's about whose you are. And that's where the joy comes. Let him have your life and watch what he can do. We love you all so much. See you next week.
God bless you guys.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.